This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
We got our girl Nikki Cohen Bird with us today.
What's up, everybody?
Also known as Nikki in Nashville.
Indeed.
How are you doing today, sis?
I am good. I am living life, loving it. Everything's been good. I can't complain whatsoever.
Hell yeah. Cold as fuck out there.
Yeah. So we're hearing that we're about to get like a foot of snow.
Is that what it's up to now?
That's what they're saying. And we just moved into a new house out like an hour and a half from where we're at now. And we're like, oh, please don't lose power because we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. So we're trying to figure out how to manage all of that.
Yeah. Where are you guys at? Because you guys were out of town originally, right? Like Pulaski, right?
So Clay's from Pulaski.
He's from Pulaski.
I'm from Indiana. We lived just right off Charlotte, like okay. When we first lived together. And that was, I mean, kind of a nightmare because that's right in like the worst intersection in the city, I think.
Oh, traffic's a bitch, but you're still like in town if you got to get somewhere to watch a show or whatever.
Yeah, it was so close to everything. But like both he and I were, we want land and like peace. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I've been here for 10 years. Like, let's just do that. So we did that. And so we have 3 acres out in Burns, which is just like between Kingston Springs and Dixon.
Oh, nice.
And it's not like an older house or anything, but it is like it's not walking distance. We're not spoiled with like, yeah, we can just hop on over to the store and just like grab whatever you need. Like, no, that's not the case. So we would just kind of be stuck, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's like my girlfriend lives up in Cross Plains, up in like Robertson County. Nice. Beautiful, like awesome, but it is like, it's again, like you're kind of, White House is there, but you're still like a little bit out there, you know? Where it's, you can't just walk down the street to something.
Yeah, you'd have to like draw a horse and a buggy to get where you can't
get all Amish with it, you know? Get like the Amish folks that are right up there over the Kentucky line. So you've been in town 10 years. I didn't know that.
Well, I guess now it's been, so I moved here in 2013 to do grad school at Belmont. I know it went like that. Oh, now I'm aging myself. Okay, so yes, I started grad school in 2013. Oh my God, that's so long ago. And graduated in 2014. And have been here, I want to say off and on, but I only left for 2 years. Like I was gone from 2018 to about 2020. So right near when COVID started, I moved back. I just kind of moved across the country to kind of see if I wanted to live anywhere else. And the answer was absolutely no. So I came back. It also, like, it really feels like home here. And when I came back, I was like, holy crap. Like, I've been gone for 2 years and everything has changed. Like, dude, crazy.
Boom was nuts because I got here October of 18.
Oh,
so
wow.
Right around when you left was, like, my first 2 years here. And just the change from then, and that's only 6 years. So for you to have, even just leaving for 2 years, the whole skyline changed.
Yep. It was, and I mean, when I first got here, it was like New York to me, how people who want to be like in acting or on stage, they get to New York and they see Broadway and they're like, holy crap, like I knew I wanted to do something in music. And I get here and I'm like, on seeing De Munbury and like how it used to be when Winners and Losers were not two stories, when Soul Shine was still there and they had all that stuff going on, and like I'd go to Whiskey Jam every single week and like, this is amazing. And then even coming back, like things have changed so much and stuff's closing down and I'm just like, wow, this is so crazy. But yeah, it's just Nashville, man, crazy.
Yeah, it is like, I remember coming down here and being like, fuck yeah, I can go to Winners and go to Whiskey Jam every Monday, every Thursday. I can go to Revival at Tin Roof. Like, the institutions back in those days were fucking awesome. They set the stage for what we have now.
Right.
Honestly, they kind of laid the groundwork. And then you still have like some OG buildings like the Station Inn, a place that I know you frequent.
Yeah, Station.
It's kind of in like when I like describe like what you talk about, and your content's awesome. You've been growing it for a while. The past like year and a half, it seems like there's just been like this boom.
Yeah.
And it goes, it kind of coincides with the style that it seems like you really love, which is that neo-traditional songwriter, like throwing it back.
Yeah.
How does it feel to like see that kind of come to the mainstream and be a part of that movement in a way, Nikki? Like, you know, you're doing it.
Well, thank you for saying that. And it's fun because like this in the best way possible was not like my plan of what I was going to do. I had no idea like what I was going to do with accounts and stuff, but just like going back to the beginning, I was working for a lady who's like massive in the finance space and she's like an online guru. And I helped her grow her brand for a couple of years. I had nothing to do with music, but I just saw like how much leverage she had when she grew an audience. And so I was really like trying to put some stock into social media and I was just like, what am I going to talk about? Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I started off just like making videos about cool things around Nashville to do. And all of a sudden one day I was just like listening to the radio and I was like, man, I don't feel like this sounds anything like the music I grew up on. Like, I'm a 90s kid, and I was like, this doesn't sound anything like it. And so I just decided to throw up a video that was literally 7 seconds long. I say zero words in it, and I just, like, clip for, like, a split second each, like, some artists that I'm listening to that aren't necessarily played on the radio. And it went crazy.
Who were those? Do you remember who those original artists were?
Yes, it was... I mean, just totally. It was totally. It was Steel Drivers, Coulter Wall, Ryan Bingham. And I mean, I think I might have even said Zach Bryan at the time. It was just like very, you know, obvious kind of people who are huge now. But this was a couple of years ago. And it just went absolutely crazy. And I'm like, okay. So there must be something here. Like people are kind of like yearning for that more traditional, more classic sound. And I just kind of found community through that. And I think even today, like, it's grown a lot. And there's almost this duality in country music where it's like the people who are staunch, anything popular, mainstream country music, radio stuff, like, that's the shit. Let's go. That's what I love. And then there are some people who are just like, no, you know, like, I prefer the more traditional classic sound. And even, you know, like, with the rise of TikTok stars and stuff, and you see people like Zach Top who are, like, absolutely blowing up. Like, there's a huge community now growing behind, I'm hesitant to say movement, but that sound.
Yeah, I think it's a movement.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say. I mean, you look at, like, you talk about, like, the two Zachs. And they're different. And they're both, they're so like that different. Traditional acoustic thing. But couldn't be more different as, like, individuals. They're both great. But, like, their styles are so different from what was on the radio in 2018, 2019, 2020.
So much.
And, like, the people that are sounding like that. Like, Zach Bryan has inspired a whole generation of kids.
Yeah.
That are coming to town, and not even in town, but are just posting that we're seeing.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of people that have that kind of, that sound too, kind of like the Eddie Flints, or even like the, you could even argue like the Sams and the Dylan.
Sam Barber, Dylan for Gossett. Sure. Yeah. So it's like, it's wild to see. And now we're starting to see that with Zach Top, where Zach Top is inspiring kids. And that's the beauty of social media. We get to find these kids. Like, some of the people you're posting about, like, I watch all of your shit because
thanks.
I'm like, who's Nikki talking about now?
Yeah.
Like, who is she going to put me on? And you've gotten to build, like, some relationships with these artists too from posting about them, right?
Yes, I have. And it was one of those things where it's kind of so surreal. Because I never played, like, I never even thought that would happen in that way where, like, I could talk to them or they'd message me and then we see each other out. We're just, like, kind of, like, buddy, like, hey, oh, my gosh, like, I'm so excited for what you got coming out and even interviewing people who I never thought that I'd be in the same room with kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, and everybody's so kind. They don't act, you know, like, superior. Everybody is so humble, so kind, and they really just accept anyone who's, like, working in this space to help them promote themselves and help, like, you know, put people onto this sort of this music. And it's just so refreshing to hear that and see that and feel that. But yeah, long story long, there's a lot of good connections that are there now. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So growing up in Indiana,
yep.
What was that like? Because I like Indiana. I've been up through there a bunch, like, on the road over the years. And we used to rent a bandwagon, which is in, like, Bowling Green, Indiana, which I didn't know existed until I went. But you take those back roads and you're just driving through cornfields and, like, this bus thing. But Indiana is an interesting place. It's different.
It is. Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot there. I left when I was 18, just, like, classic go away to college kind of thing. I mean, I went to college in Indiana, but I left home. So I grew up in New Albany, which is just right on the other side of Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
So, I basically tell everybody that I'm from Louisville because it's the only thing that they know. But yeah, I did all those things. Like, Cody Parks talks about hanging out in the Walmart parking lot. Like, we did that all the time. Like, I was hanging out in the Walmart parking lot, like, the movie theater parking lot. Like, I had horses back then, so we'd be out in the field and, like, we'd do the whole thing, like, the bonfires and the cabins and the camping and the trucks and the, you know, cornfields, all that stuff. Typical Midwestern kid. I did that.
It makes sense that you were on the Kentucky line because that seems like, I mean, your love for the Appalachia sound of the guys and girls that are coming up just doing, like, the Childers, Sturgill thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it makes sense that you're basically it seems like you can almost claim Kentucky being that close to Louisville.
Yeah, maybe. And I mean, even when I lived there, like, I wasn't even into that kind of sound, you know, like, Louisville was a big blues spot and it still kind of is. So we would go out and, like, that's a lot of what they had around. There wasn't a whole lot of country back then, but it's different now. Like, when I go out around Louisville, like, we saw Jesse Daniel in Louisville not too long ago.
Oh,
like,
he's awesome.
Oh my God, he's so good live. It's so crazy. And I'll have to get to that story in a minute because I took my dad and that was, like, such an interesting time. But yeah, the Appalachian people that are coming up right now, I do love that sound. I love that style. I want to binge Pony Bradshaw's entire catalog. Right? Like, he's just one of the ones where I'm just like, man, I want to know everything that you put out because your stuff is so good, you know? So, yeah, it's just, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Kurt did an episode on the Raised Rowdy Pod with Jesse not too long ago. Yeah, it was just the one-on-one, just him and Jesse. But what, so you get to bring your family around some of this stuff, and they remember when you moved here. So you said you moved here to do counseling?
I moved here to go to grad school.
For what?
For music business.
Oh, for music business. Okay, yes. So it was music business. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
And it's just one of those things, like, I didn't grow up around this and I didn't have any connections here. And nobody really tells you when you're just coming to Nashville, like, you don't really need to go through a six-figure higher education program to 100%. Learn music. Meet people.
Yeah.
Get out and meet people. And you don't, I didn't know that. I was very naive about it. So the only good thing about it, though, is just like, you know, I got my MBA. It was just a focus in music business with some like other corporate investments or something stuck along with it. But yeah, I did a couple of internships in publishing space because that's kind of where I wanted to be. I wanted to work with Sync, so like film and TV stuff. Yeah. I wanted to do
Yellowstone and Landman.
Yes.
And Taylor Sheridan is making a lot of money for country artists
is.
Right now.
I know. He is indeed. We were just watching 1923 last night. But yeah, I just, that's what I wanted to do. And so I did that at Belmont and that's why I was here. And like things progressed and I didn't end up actually working in music, like in an actual career. Like I did a couple of internships and made some connections. But outside of that, just the life went a completely different way. But that's why I came here. But it's come full circle with like doing this and stuff now. So yeah.
But so your family knows you as coming down here, loving music and all that. But now to bring them to shows with you where you actually have a friendship with the artist, with the guy or girl on stage. So what was that like with Jesse Daniel and your dad getting to take him to a show?
I will never forget him for this. And also because like he's always going to stick with me because of how he treated my dad. So in a good way, in the best way possible. So my dad is like, he's ex-Marine fighter pilot. He fought in Vietnam. He's older than a lot of people my age's parents, which is, you know, whatever. It just happened that way. And he does not get out. He doesn't really get out. They just hang out at the house and he just, you know, very simple. He does whatever he wants to do around there. But, you know, he was a big fan of like John Denver and he watches a lot of like honky talk on YouTube.
Oh,
and
the old
I
stuff.
Was like, the old stuff. And I'm just like, you would love Jesse. So I got tickets for, I think, one of the venues that is like owned by the same people as the Burl in Louisville. And it was just like a random Wednesday night. And I drove up to Louisville and I got him and we went there. And Jesse was just getting off his like Europe leg tour. Maybe he was in Switzerland or something. And there were probably 10 people in the room. And I was like, what the heck? He's so good. Like, why are there not so many people here? But he put on the same energy, same style show like he would if there's thousands of people in the room. Yeah. And it was so good. And my dad loved it so much. Like, he doesn't move around very well. Otherwise, he probably would have gotten up and danced. But at the end of the show, he's like, let's go talk to Jesse. Like, let's go meet. So we go up to the table and he buys, like, I buy a record and he buys a shirt. And Jesse just like talks to my dad and he just like thanks him for his service. And he's just like so kind to him. And now my dad just listens to Jesse all the time. He's just like, he's my new favorite artist and he wears his shirts and he wears his merch all the time. And just like, this is awesome. You know, that was so cool to me to see that.
And guys like Jesse are so good about building diehard fans to where those 10 people in the room are all going to buy merch, are all going to know every word to every song.
Yes.
Like he does such a good job of like that grassroots approach of like getting to meet meeting the fans and making those moments.
Yes, he does.
After the show, which is so freaking important.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I agree so much. And I feel like he does that, like you said, every single time. We just saw him again when he opened for Ben Todd and Lost Dog Street Band at Brooklyn Bowl here in December. And it was the same kind of vibe. Like, he's just so like crowd friendly and just like talking to you. And it's so great. So
how many shows did you go to last year? You strike me as someone that goes to a lot of shows. And I'm not just talking about like the showcase things that like we do in town, because like you add in like our stuff or like Whiskey Jam or like Writer's Rounds and stuff, then that adds a lot of shows too. But like ticketed shows or festivals, or just how many do you think you went to last year?
I all right, let me think for 2 seconds. I mean, by the way, you guys are absolutely crushing it with the live stuff. I
appreciate that.
I'm so excited for you all with what you do, and it's so cool. And I wish I could come to more of that stuff.
Like, well, you're out of town a little bit, and you're busy, and you're work. Like, it makes sense why not a lot of people. Like, when you're living in the city and you first move here, you go out.
Like, every single
day. I don't go out as much. I feel bad that I don't get down to see Ward do his thing on Broadway. And I don't get to go watch Mark Addison Chandler at with Grindhouse down at 6th and Peabody. Like, I don't get out as much as I used to either, but I'm out 10 nights a month for our stuff. So it's like, I'm still out,
Yeah. And you got your festivals and stuff that you do outside of the state and all the things that you're working on.
I got off. It's funny. I told my girlfriend, I'm like, I'm not on the road anymore, but it's like, nope, I'm on the road in the summer.
We're going to be gone for however long. So I did a 2024 recap, like, TikTok video where I posted, I think it was really quick clips of like 19 artists from different shows that I was at. And that probably was about a third of the shows that I made it to last year, which is crazy.
Yeah. There's something about chasing, like, and I kind of like the idea. Nashville shows are cool, but going to shows out of town, there's just a different energy to like, and there's people that do good Nashville shows. Like, Zach Top at Exit Inn was awesome. Gavin Adcock at Exit Inn was awesome. Ella at Exit Inn was awesome. But then you see them out of town, like, when the suits are kind of gone, like, there's just a different energy when you go to, like, small town Kentucky or Indiana or Georgia or Mississippi or Alabama, to where, like, the crowd just seems to appreciate a little bit more. Like, Nashville, you get, everybody just gets so much music to where
kind of desensitized to like, and everybody is good, and so you're just like, okay, this is just like a normal, it could be like a huge artist, you're like, this is just another normal Tuesday, and then you're in somewhere like Louisville or like you said, like Mississippi or anything, you're just like, this is amazing.
How far did you travel for a show this year?
So I went to actually go visit Clay on the road when they were playing in Colorado, and while we were there, we did a Red Rock show, so I think that was the furthest away.
Who'd you see there?
Whiskey Myers.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I was like, this is, it was only the second time that I've been to Red Rock. So last year I did Shane Smith, or not last year, 2 years ago, Shane Smith and the Saints at
another
Red
Rocks. Great one.
My favorite concert of all time. It was absolutely amazing. And then, so then last year, it was Whiskey Myers. He had Anderson East and Vincent Neil Emerson open for them, who were both very good. But their show is like massively amazing live, especially at Red Rocks. Like, that sound carries so far, and it was so good.
And they're another band that's just built a cult following. The Whiskey fans are like
diehard,
unlike anything else. And it's like, they've been at it for so long. Like, I remember like Broken Window Serenade and like the early stuff, and just the transitions they've gone through as a band, but they play all of it.
Yeah.
Which is what's great.
All of it. And it was kind of, it was too like a jam session while they were there. I mean, just like they played that rock and roll feel like all night, and just, it was, it kind of sucked because it was storming that day. And so it ended a little bit early because like you're out in the elements, like at Red Rocks or whatever. Yeah. So there was a lightning delay, but they had huge energy and just played, like you said, like songs from every era of their catalog, and it was so cool.
Yeah, we're getting to see them at Tailgate and Tall Boys this year.
Nice.
They're headlining in Clinton, Iowa, which I've gained appreciation for the Midwest from years of like touring when being out with Muscadine, being out with Trey. Like, I've gone to these places, but when you're in like Clinton, Iowa for 3 days, it means so much to like those people, like the good mid, like you were talking about, like Midwest, good Midwestern folks.
Yeah.
There's just, it's just a different vibe up there. So very excited to see them up there this year.
Yeah, that'll be great. They're pulling a lot of good festivals in the Midwest now.
They are. It's like, and that's what's cool too, is like a lot of the acts that we would only see in like Texas or like in the Appalachia area, they're going like around the whole damn world now.
Yes, they are. Railbird was another one that we went to this past year, and they had a lot of great artists there too. Like, they pulled Red Clay up there. They had Dwight Yoakam, like all the, just that one was a good one too.
That's awesome. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Who are some people that you're kind of really vibing with right now? Because you're on, how often are you scrolling social media? Because you're posting on there. You stay consistent with your posting, which I give you a lot of credit for. That shit ain't easy.
Thank you. No, it's not. It's just, I'm kind of in a lull right now where, it's like you start off and you're creating content, and it's really around just what you want to share. And you don't have, I mean, I didn't really have that much notion of like skills that it needed to be a content creator, like getting good at hooks and getting good at editing. So at first it was just sharing as easily as I can and simply as I can stuff behind the artist that I'm listening to. And now as things are progressing and like people kind of get desensitized to your stuff and I have to learn and evolve as an actual creator. And so I feel like I'm in a little bit of a lull, but it's also this point where I'm like, I'm learning what works. I have to figure out and learn what hits so people can actually see my stuff. And that's one of the main reasons right now that I'm scrolling is I'm trying to find people who are posting something similar that's working so I can learn from it. But along with that comes with finding new artists and like seeing what they're up to.
Which to me is the best part.
Which is the best part. There's so much good music out there right now. And too, like even people like Zach Top, like they're showing you that artists can also be insanely amazing content creators. And it's really cool to see the stuff that they put out too. So I'm finding a lot of people on socials as I'm scrolling through. But right now, I have kind of like my staples that I listen to all of the time. And I try to make so much space for a lot of new artists because I listen to a ton of new stuff all the time. Yeah. But I do listen to Shane Smith and the Saints probably more than anyone else I am right now. Like probably my favorite, like them and Sierra, Sierra Farrell, just two that I listen to all the time.
You were early on her.
I think so.
You were early on her. What was it for you that stuck out, like your first time seeing Sierra?
The way that... So I knew the In Dreams song just from its virality on TikTok before I even really knew like who Sierra was. But as more as that started coming up and you hear her name and then you start kind of going through the, oh my gosh, like the rest of her catalog is amazing. But it was her sound and how effortlessly she makes that sound easy, seem easy, along with her style. I think she has one of the most like bulletproof brands in the business right now. No one can touch her. You cannot touch Sierra Farrell. Her voice, the way she dresses, her mannerisms, you just can't do it. And I love that about her.
It's like the bad bitch energy of like an Ashley McBride with like the tats and just I'm not gonna get all dolled up. She's gonna get dolled up in her own way.
In her own way.
But she's gonna not do what people would expect her to do.
Exactly. And I think like people call her like the little woodland fairy of like country music because of just the way that she looks. And I think that's great. But she's like getting, you know, even better at like stage performance and playing, you know, the fiddle and the violin and just like also evolving her craft. And you can see it sort of live. But she still keeps her twerks and it's very much just like across content and even in the shows, like the way that she speaks and just like how she, it's just her and it's just so great. Yeah. I love that about her.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to see her live yet, but it's on my list to, I'm hoping it like, I always try, I'm always like, oh, I'll just see him at a festival. But sometimes they do like, I want to go to a festival as an attendee and not be doing it like the hosting. Like I miss, cause that's kind of how Raise Rowdy started was Nikki just going to festivals and going to shows. He would go to like, he would follow Cadillac 3 for a whole weekend and go across like three states. And like him and his friends would do that. Like they would budget their money to, instead of taking vacations, they'd go to shows. Like that's just what they would do. So it's like, I want to get back to doing that. Cause it's like, you get lost where it's like, it feels like work, but I just want to go and just watch an artist.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. That's probably like, I kind of imagine how that feels with just like you're there and you have the pressure of like getting good content and taking a video of every song, but you actually also just want to sit back and like take it in live and like be present. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, that's something that you want to do again, but do you foresee that something that you guys are going to try to do a lot?
Yeah. What we try to do, we did a couple years ago, like we've done trips to where we'll, if it's within like a 4 or 5 hour radius of town, we'll drive down to Rome, Georgia, or Birmingham, Alabama, or Athens, Georgia, or Starkville, Mississippi, and we'll just go to a show.
Okay.
To go to a show. That's which great. which is important to do. And we'll go to like rock shows too. You know, like we saw Creed earlier this year, with our butt rock stuff, like the Creeds, the Limp Bizkits, the Nickelbacks, like those guys are like, we have to go out and see them. But it was also like, it started changing for me when I was working as a tour manager.
Yeah.
Like,
who were you managing?
I did merch for Muscadine for about a year. And that was pre-COVID Muscadine. So that was when their sound was different and their harmonies and everything. And sonically, they've always been great.
Yeah.
But that was like Porch Swing Porch Angel, Swing. Can't Tell You No. Like, that was right. That was before Dying for a Living and all of that stuff. Like that was before they like switched to closer to like the Whiskey Myers sound where it became more like rocking.
Yeah.
And I feel like they've really found themselves over the past few years. But I did probably 100 shows with them.
Nice.
And then I was out with Trey Lewis. I was his tour manager right hand for like 3 years. So it was, we would do like 100 shows a year with him. Oh, and it's gosh. Like you're still going to shows, but you're working.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving the van. You're going, you know it from with Clay and Cody and the Dirty South thing, like where they're gone and they're going. So it's like it changes to where like I'm watching a show and I'm like, oh, the lighting package here, this, that, oh, the transition here, oh, the stage tech doing this, oh, this, that, whatever. I'm even analyzing how the damn merch is set up, you know? And it's like, I just want to go and get a little stoned and
not
go to a show,
to think
you know?
About anything else that has to be
I just
want to
soak it up, you know? Just soak it up. What? So you said your favorite shows of all time, like some of the Red Rock stuff. What have been some of like your favorite like Nashville moments where you've gotten to kind of see somebody?
Oh, man. I've been a long time attender of CMA Fest, and anything that they do, Chevy Riverfront Stage, is like always a great time. I love going to see those shows. Exit In, I do love Exit In and all of the shows that they put on, and then Whiskey Jam for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, outside, yeah, like your guys' stuff we go to all the time, Filthy Friday when they had that, but like the Whiskey Jam stuff, that was something that I did pretty much every week, like since I moved here.
Who were some people that you remember seeing early?
Early. Holy crap.
Because you've been here on and off for a long time to where you could have seen anybody.
I remember, who do I remember that was like so far back? The one that stands out in my mind, he's not even a country artist, but I saw Peyton Manning play at a Whiskey Jam like a really long time ago. He does that when he hosts and stuff here. But we saw, like, this was back when it was at its original. Like, I've seen Chase Rice a couple of times there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, why am I totally blanking on his name? Josh, holy cow, not Josh Turner.
Josh Abbott?
No, it'll come to me. I saw him so much there. My ears are like getting mixed up. But anyways, yeah, I've seen a ton of people at Whiskey Jam, just like massive names, and it was really cool.
Yeah, it's cool to watch like somebody's first show and then watch them like evolve from there. And that's been like the most rewarding part for me.
For you guys.
Is watching the Meg Maroney's, watching the Ella Langley. I mean, Ella used to live in the van with us with Trey.
She was
Trey's roommate up until recently.
Oh my gosh.
For like 4 or 5 years. So she, when the Dick Down and Dallas stuff happened, Ella was our acoustic opener.
Oh dang.
She traveled the country with us in a van.
Good for her now. Yeah. She's really
she's
blown
a
up.
Badass. We always used to say Trey would open, we were going to be opening for you one day. Says, and we she's just blown the fuck up. And it's like, but watching them at like the writers around stage, or watching like a Zach Top, watching a Bailey Zimmerman, like getting to see those early kids. And now we get to see it on the full band thing by doing the Wednesdays at Duck Blind. Like, we had this girl last night, Evan Coyote, who you would like. She's like,
Evan Coyote. Okay.
Evan Coyote. She's like, if you take like Miranda and Ella and kind of smush them together.
Yeah.
And she's like a badass. She's gonna be on Idol this year, which is gonna be cool.
But
she's been just gigging and working her ass off on Broadway, but just like a cool, distinct sound. And
this
kid Colton Bolin, who
I've heard that name.
He's in your vein for sure. Do a deep dive. He's got like 2,000 followers right now, but I think he's gonna get a lot more than that over the next few years. He's only 20 years old. He's like a little baby. He's like in like that. He's good buddies with Baker Blankenship, like part of like that squad.
That young kids, that group of just like Ty Myers and Baker and
Hudson Westbrook.
Just blowing.
Like you're seeing the young kids here in town, but then the young kids in Texas. And it's like Texas has their multiple like facets to where there's like you have Hudson and Ty that are very like the mainstream kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then you have like the rockin' guys that are like following in Co and Treaty Oak and Austin Mead's footsteps.
Yeah.
Like the Sterling Elzas, the Cole Barnhills.
Great.
That are just fucking, it's a rock show.
Yeah.
Like they get put into like the country thing like Co did, but it's like they're rock guys.
Yeah.
They're fucking rockers on country shows, which is cool.
Yeah, Texas is its own, like, Texas is its own animal when it comes to music. There's so many different styles that come out of there and so many artists, and it's wild, but everybody's good.
Have you been out there yet?
I went to Austin for Ameripolitan in February. Not necessarily Texas country stuff, but there's a little bit of that around there. I mean, they played, it was like a festival where they had a lot of people play at some of the big, like honky tonks down there, like the big venues.
Yeah.
And then we're doing Two Step In this year. So that'll only be like my second time getting to Texas for music.
Yeah. It's just, it's different, different world.
It is,
but it's cool. Like the it used to be like a tough bridge to where like you go back to like the Randy Rogers and the Wade Bowens and those guys. Yeah. They weren't coming here, but now we get the biggest guys from over there, biggest girls from over there to come over to here, and the Nashville folks are going out there more.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
It's very interesting. And I've been a huge Aaron Watson fan for a really long time.
He's so like an good. He was ahead of his time.
He was.
You think about where he would be right now with the bridge between Nashville, the Texas, being even closer. And he's had a great career, and he sells out big clubs in Texas and always will. But it's like, he's fantastic. Randall King, another guy from that world. Yeah. Another guy from that world. Who's,
man, I love it. There's so many. Yeah, just like Aaron's been, like you said, he was totally ahead of his time. He's been doing this for, like, I don't know, 2 decades, like 20 years now. And I got to interview him last year, and he's just like, man, like, I know it's already been, you know, 20 years, but I feel like I'm just getting started. Like, let's go. You know, I'm just, it's just like my time. Like, yeah. That's such a cool attitude for, you know, however long you've been doing it.
Yeah. How long have you been doing, like, the interview stuff?
Not that long, actually. Probably only a little over a year. My first one I ever did was Tanner Esri.
Nice.
Right before he did the right before he did his Ryman show, and I was so nervous. Like, his PR people just like emailed me, and they were just like, "Hey, like, he's gonna play. Do you want to come and interview him?" And I was like, "I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never done this before." Like, it was in person, at the Ryman, just like upstairs in a room, and I was like setting up all my stuff, and I was like shaking. I was so nervous. But after that, it got a lot easier. People kind of come to me and ask to be interviewed, and I have a little bit more like leverage to reach out and be like, "Hey, I would love to get you on like the podcast or like do a Carter session or something like that." But I haven't been doing the long form interviews for that long.
Yeah, who have been some of your favorites? So you said Tanner, you said Aaron.
Yeah, Tanner. Aaron was probably the most surreal, because I remember going to a show of his at Exit Inn 10 years ago. Like, it was literally probably a little bit over 10 years ago. And I went with my best friend, because her and I were just like obsessed with July and Cheyenne, and we loved Aaron Watson so much. And it came full circle, because her and I at that show, man, like you said, he gets off and he talks to all of his fans. So he's another one of those that just does that. Every single show he does that. And he came over to us and he took like one of the most awkward like family photo pictures, where you just like wrap your arms around you, put your cheeks together. He did that with both of us. And when I went and interviewed him in Indianapolis, we recreated that, and I put it side by side, and I was like, there's no way 10 years ago I would have ever thought that this would happen. Like, I took this picture with him like being a fan, and now I'm interviewing him. But yeah, that was a really cool one. I talked to Willie Carlisle last year, and he's one of those people who are just like so intelligent. Like, he's so well-spoken, so intelligent when he speaks, and the questions that he asked is just like so thought-provoking to you. I was like, man, I'm way out of my league. He's so much smarter than me. Like, I need to, you know, kind of get on his level. That one was a really cool one, because it was very eye-opening. And then I recently talked to Ben Todd, because I'm a huge fan of Ben Todd.
Yeah.
So Ben Todd and the Lost Dog Street Band, him and Ashley got on with me, and we had a cool conversation, and that was really neat. So,
awesome. Yeah. That's how I felt interviewing. Like, you talk about just being with someone that's like a music, like somebody's an artist that you really love.
Yeah.
But then you get talking to them, and you're like, oh shit, they're really smart. That's how I felt with Corey Kent. I did Corey Kent at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. And he could talk to you. Like, it could be like a 3-hour, like, he'd be good on Rogan. Like, just good, talking like Rogan, philosophy kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just a smart motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, he just is plain and simple, like just deep thought. And there's a lot of artists that are like that.
Yeah. So many people don't, you know a whole lot about, I guess, like some of their backgrounds and stuff, or like really what they're about outside of music. But there are so many who are just, they either went to school for something else, or they have, you know, hobbies and something else, or they're just really, like you said, just really, really intelligent. I mean, like, you've got Stephen Wilson, who was like a microbiologist or something in his past life or whatnot. I'm just like, wow.
It's like, we love that you write songs, but you could probably write a book, man.
Yeah, you could.
You know?
You might have discovered the cure to cancer. Who knows? Like, yeah, just, it's wild.
That's awesome. So when you're not doing music stuff, what do you like doing?
So actually this isn't like my full-time thing. It's just, you know, right now it's just something that I do on the side, like a passion project. I own another business outside of this. Yeah. I work in marketing. I work in online marketing. So I run this company during the day. And I have a ton of clients that I'm working with, and we're trying to build that company to a place where it's, you know, a little bit further along than it is. So it's one of those things where it's like my focus is, split a lot, but for, you know, the best possible case, I love doing them both. But when I'm not working on either one of those things, so, you know, like we're traveling or like doing stuff outside. Like I love doing anything outside, obviously, honestly, and going and trying new restaurants or just like going and traveling to new spots. And big fan of horses. So anytime I can get around them, like I like to go horseback riding or just like hiking, you know, so anything outside.
Awesome. Then how did you and the Possum King meet? I gotta know. He's one of my favorite. Like you have a lot of like players that are like personalities as well, especially when they're on stage, but also when they're off stage. You know, like you think of guys like Terry Lee Palmer for John Party, like where they're characters where it's like you're what, and then Jake who plays with Cameron Marlowe, same kind of thing where there's like hoss cats, like they're just like energy on stage. So how did you and Clay meet each other and get to know each other? Because he's one of my favorite dudes, and I don't see him enough. You know, I don't. It's him be you guys living out of town. Like it's always a treat when we run into you guys.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, he is definitely a character. I love him to death. So we met like any two music lovers would at Whiskey Jam.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, I was there actually. I was there to take content of another artist who was supposed to be playing in the lineup, Matt Schuster.
Yeah.
And I don't know if like maybe just the lineup got redone, but Cody, he was playing with Cody at Whiskey Jam when it was still in Midtown, and they get up on stage, and right before then, like you know how there's that stage, and then there's like that little window that goes over to the deck part. I like looked through because I was standing right up front. I was right in front of the speaker. And I look through and I see Clay, and he's got like this long ass beard and long ass hair, and he's wearing his hat. And I'm like, damn, that's got to be somebody like hella famous. Like that's somebody right there.
Yeah.
And they get up on stage, and he's the bass player for Cody Parks in the Dirty South. And they've got two flying V's up on stage. And I'm over here just like taking, and I have no idea what to expect. I've never heard them before. So I'm over here just like taking videos of them. And I like really creepily take videos of Clay because I'm like, this dude is the coolest looking person I've ever seen. Yeah. Like the most unique person I've ever seen. And he was like looking right at me, but he said that he didn't actually see me because of the lights. But as soon as they started playing, I made it through one song before I had to move into the back of the room
because I was standing right there. They bring in their marshals and stuff. Yes. They are one of the loudest shows in town.
So loud. And it's like, I mean, it was like because I've been to all the Filthy Fridays after that. So I got used to it, obviously. But I was standing in front. I was like right in front of the speakers. Like, oh my God, I can't do it. I need earplugs or just like something. I'm going to go deaf. So I finished watching their show in the back of the room. And I was just one of those people who was like, you know what? There's no intentions here, but he's like the coolest looking person I've ever seen. So I slid into his DMs.
Hell yeah.
And I got onto Cody's page and I was just like scrolling through his posts until I found the picture of Clay. And I was like, he's very recognizable. Clicked on it, found his tag, found his Instagram account, messaged him. And I was like, dang, you guys are so good. Like that was just an awesome show. And he just messaged back and he was like, thanks. Like, have you come to a show before? I feel like I've seen you before. And I was just like, yeah, I'm at it right now. Like I'm here right now. And so we just got to talking like through Instagram, and he invited me to their next show, which was when they did the NHL draft on Broadway, and they played that stage. So I went to that, and we just I've been hanging out, and just that was all it took ever since. That's awesome. How we met Whiskey Jam.
Did you ever get to meet the Possums?
No, I didn't. He didn't have them when I met him, but we're on the lookout. We're in the market for some more possums.
In the market for some possums.
Hell he wants some. He definitely wants some more.
Yeah, I feel like he needs some. Mm-hmm. Like it's just it's he needs that.
He does.
And I feel like you could have you handled like possums and raccoons and stuff before?
I'm like a dog, cat, horse person. We've got four animals already. We have two dogs and two cats, but it's funny because like there's been a couple of times where I'm just like driving back from like events and I'm on these back ass roads and I stop my Jeep because there's a possum in the middle of the road and it's just like hanging out there, just like eating something. And I'm calling Clay and I'm like, Clay, there's a possum in the middle of the road. What do I do? He's like, oh my God, that's so cool. He's just like, take a towel or take a shirt and just go grab it. And I'm just like, just go grab it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm not just going to go grab this thing, this wild animal in the middle of the road. Like, it's going to bite me and it's going to be like rabid. Actually, fun story. I think he told me that possums like actually can't get rabies.
Yeah, they're immune.
So yeah, they're immune. And so like, okay, well, maybe it's not going to be as bad. So both times I've tried to get out, like stop my Jeep in the middle of the road, put my flashers on, get out and try to capture this possum that's in the middle of the road. They've run from me both times, but I'm going to get them next time I see one.
I can't wait for the content when you do have that possible. Because that was one of my, like, and I love what Cody and those guys do.
Yeah.
Again, because it's so distinctly different.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a market for that.
Yes,
you know?
There is.
There really is. And this past year was a big year for them, traveling around and getting to do shows in new places and get in front of audience. Because it's like, there's definitely that Southern rock thing in there.
Yeah.
But there's the metal thing. But if you're like a big country fan, like, you're gonna like it.
Vibe, yeah. Because they do those mashups. Like, he's another one of those artists who are just so good at content. Like, they are just, to me, like, they're right on that cusp of just like blowing up to their own space. And a couple other people have told me that, and I'm just like, just keep doing exactly what you're doing. It's the most unique kind of like sound I've heard in a long time. Just keep doing it. But it's really cool to see that for them. And their live shows are so good. And I love the mashups that they do. Like, I really like their music. So, yeah.
Yeah. If you can throw like Johnny Cash and make it into like a metal song and stuff, like, it's just like, I love watching people's first reaction to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, out of like people that would just walk into Live Oak for a Filthy Friday.
Yeah.
And be. What? And they're just tourists. Like, what did we just walk in?
Zombie and Johnny Cash. What the heck? Yeah, no, I love that. My cousin, him and his girlfriend come here a lot now, and they always would show up the day that there's a Filthy Friday that month, and they love that band now. Like, all of my family loves him and that band.
That's
like,
good.
It's my favorite band. I'm like, yeah, okay.
That's awesome. So what are like some goals for this year? So like 2024, looking back, seems to be a pretty good year for you, huh?
It was slow growth-wise, but I think what happened was a lot of realization again that I have to kind of figure out the business side of things. Like, it's not just a, hey, this is going to be fun, like creating content and showcasing artists. Like, I kind of got to really figure out and double down on what I want this to be. And so 2024 was kind of a lot of planning and making connections. And this year is going to be a lot of execution. So I've got some plans of like doing way more long form stuff. Like, I want to get a lot more Carter sessions in, and I want to keep going with the YouTubes and the podcast. And I'm really into like immersive experiences. So I'm trying to find, you know, videographers and people who will like go with me to artists, like just like film them in their everyday life, you know, like, God, a dream would just be to go to Canada with Coulter and just like interview him while he's working on his ranch, or like doing that kind of stuff. I think that'd be super cool. So a lot more long form stuff, and kind of new styles with the short form stuff, is kind of the plan for this year.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I think sky's the limit. Like you said too, it's like 2023 is like seeing, oh shit, I can do this. 2024 is like, oh, I can, I gotta grow it. I gotta adapt. And then this year you take what you learned last year and fucking do it.
And do it. Yeah. There's a lot of people now in the space that I have so much respect for. We've become friends, but there's like two sides. There's like the influencer media style people like me, Dylan Weldon, Country Minute, like all those guys who have a face to the stuff that they're doing. And then traditional media outlets like Country Central, Taste of Country, the ones that just like turn out a lot of news and whatnot. And I just, there's so many coming into this space. And I think it's great because it's just like shining a light on this genre and like doing great distribution and promotion for all of the artists.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see what they're doing, and there's a space for everybody. And we're just like having a lot of fun doing it. So it's just going to be interesting to see where everybody goes, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that right now, like, country is still, we've had it for a few years now, but it's the cool thing.
Yeah, it's now the cool thing.
And we'll see how long that goes. It's funny, like, I've had Grady Smith on here before.
Grady's like, man, I
miss it not being the cool thing. I miss it being our thing. But at the same time, like, we're having like our Sunset Strip like moment.
Yeah.
Like you think back to like 80s hair metal when it was like LA was like the spot. It's like Nashville's the spot right now.
It is.
And it's sick.
I think it's just like the rising tide kind of raises all ships things. Like, the more popular even just the popular country artists get in the radio stuff, it's just like it trickles down into everyone else, and it raises the genre a lot, like regardless of what you think about kind of like who's moving into space and like getting into country and just doing some albums and stuff there. I think a lot more eyeballs are on the genre. And I really hope to capture that into like lifelong fans, you know, just like people who then discover like the Jesse Daniels and the Sierras after they're fans of like Luke Combs or Lainey, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of like the goal with what we're doing, is to kind of bring that awareness down into the more like traditional sounding independent artists. Like, if you think radio is all there is, radio country or just like pop country, if you think that's all it is, you have a lot of other things that you could listen to.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of like... kind of why I like sharing it.
Yeah, and you see that with who people are bringing out on tour even.
Right.
Like Cody Jinks playing stadium shows with people is that's a big deal,
yeah.
You know? Like people getting an opportunity to go out with like the not mainstream, like the underground, so to speak,
yeah.
With the mainstream folks being like, I love this too. Like, I'm going to bring them out.
Well, and Post took Muscadine. And
yeah, which
was
huge.
So cool.
That was a huge thing for them. I would have, I knew that they, this last year was going to be like a big year for them. And they have just an army. Like, working with them was such a pleasure. And it's a great merch gig to have. It was it was hard to give that gig up because it's like their fans buy a ton of merch and they do everything independent. Like their merch guy, Brad, fulfills all the online orders. He comes up with the designs. They do it all themselves.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
That's a big undertaking, but that's really neat.
It is wild. What's something you would like to see as far as like the industry this year? Like just like what's something like whether it's like radio picking more people up or this person getting a light shined on them or something.
Well, there's a ton of artists that I think I would love to see get a light shined on them. But I think just more in the broad sense is just kind of having these more independent, traditional sounding artists at least being spoken about in the same conversation as like mainstream and pop country artists are. Because I feel like my belief is that, you know, there are people who are like totally against pop country. But I feel like they can exist in unison. And just like that's the best way that, again, we can like bring up all of these other artists and like promote them and, you know, find them a lot of other eyeballs and stuff is just talk about them in the same conversation and like have them get recognition at, God forbid, award shows. Like that's probably not going to happen, but maybe like have them, you know, get some recognition at award shows and not necessarily even worried about like who's played on the radio. But yeah, just being spoken about in the same conversation, just like being let in the room as you would say. But yeah, that's what I'm hoping to see.
Yeah. And now it's easier for artists to get their stuff out than ever. And does it get exhausting? Does New Music Friday get exhausting just because there's so many?
Exhausting.
Like we're getting like hundreds of songs a week.
Yeah. Exhausting, but in the best way possible. And like every single week, I'm also like, oh, shoot, I'm like missed a big one or like I missed that one or just, I mean, it's cool to see everyone who comes up. And I try to like keep, you know, like if somebody asks me, you know, what's your favorite song from so and so, like I try to keep these in my brain, but I'm listening to so much stuff that it's just like, you know, I like what I like and I know what's coming up and I kind of have a finger on the pulse. But if you just like ask me to recall, you know, like names of songs from certain artists, I'm just like, I don't know. There's so much stuff going on in here. But yeah, it does get exhausting, but in the best way possible. Like I love finding new artists.
Yeah. Did you do a video this year? I haven't seen it. If you did, like a video of artists that you think are really going to pop this year.
I did.
So who'd you have on there?
So I did the top five. Five I thought was Willow Avalon. I think she's just one of the ones, that has one of those classic voices.
And again, it's just, it's undeniable.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, it stands out. Like, you know, a Willow song.
You do for sure. She's got another one of those really solid brands. I talked about also Nolene Hoffman.
Yep.
And Cade Hoffman as well. I think all the people under LaHonda are going to do really well. I think a lot of people are wanting that more like Western Plains Prairie sound after Coulter. So them two. Number two is Ty Myers. I think being so young and how quickly he grew up.
That's,
he's like 17.
Crazy how young he is. Yeah. I was saying that to my girlfriend, some of our friends the other night. We were riding back to Robertson County from town. And I put Ty Myers on and I asked him, like, how old do you guys think this guy is? And they're like, oh, like 25. I'm like, no, he's fucking 17. he's still in with mom and dad.
Yeah.
Like he's a baby. Yeah, and he's like doing it.
That's the best. I love that. Yeah, people who have like vocal abilities and songwriting abilities way beyond their years. I think that's really cool. Like you saw that with Coulter, but him. And then number one was Stephen Wilson Jr. But I think like 24, when he released Son of Dad, that was huge for him. And this year was really big. People are starting to like discover that the Live at the Print Shop like thing that he did was huge for him. But I feel like this year it's going to meld into other genres. And like, I really feel a 26 Grammy nom for him in some way. He's going to do like a different version of Son of Dad, like an extended one that he releases this year. He's got new music coming. And I just feel like there's going to be a lot more stuff.
Yeah. I feel like he's like a songwriter. He's an artist.
Yeah.
And he's again, just doing it his own way. And it's like, he's somebody where it's just, he's got to just be on like the right festivals or like the right opening slots.
Yeah.
And any crowd is gonna, no matter what song it is, because there's like, even go back to like 1994 and like just different like things that he's done. But yeah, the Son of a Dad record was fucking
so good. Like every single song, just like heart wrenching. And he's, I mean, he does like Nirvana covers, so it appeals to that audience.
Because it has that grunge thing to it. It's like like a different take on the grunge country thing than what Coe and the Texas guys do. Yeah. But it's in that same world, and they've become buddies too. I saw I saw them post something the other day where it was Coe and Stephen Wilson hanging. I'm like, fuck
yeah, that's awesome.
I'm like, that's a collab that we need.
Wow, that would be crazy. Yeah, I love that too. But no, and he's married to this expensive nun, the richer lady, which I'm just like, wow, what a like magnificent combination that is, you know. Yeah, I think he's gonna do really, really well. And he's from like Seymour's 15-ish minutes from where I grew up. So like he's from the southern Indiana that I know too.
So, do you relate when he's talking about like some of those experiences growing up?
Totally.
Probably speaks right to you.
Yeah, I lived like that exact thing and just like 10 minutes away from you grew up kind of thing. So it's really fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. Hell yeah. Where are some spots that you like going in town? You said you like to try restaurants and different things, and originally Nikki in Nashville was going to be posting like hyper Nashville kind of things, and it's transitioned to getting the Nashville sound and even the sound outside of Nashville, the people, which is awesome. Yeah. I think that rebrand was like very smart and like finding exactly what you wanted to do and taking the love of music and telling the world about what you think is cool, which is awesome. But where are some spots that you and Clay like going to when you are in town? I know you're not in town as much anymore now that you're out towards Dixon, but like where are some of your favorite spots?
Man, we are total homebodies now. It's so funny. But when we're in Nashville, I love sushi, so I like going to any sushi restaurants. Any of the hotel coffee shops you'll find me at
they're
a ton.
Fucking
like
Noel, really good.
Bobby. Yeah, they're the best. That's
they're
where I like
really
to
good.
Out.
People sleep on the hotel coffee shops because they are fucking
so
great.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that vibe. There's really not a lot of places that we actually just like frequent. I mean, if it's live music, like I'm probably at Bobby's. If I get over to East, I'll be at like D's. We'll do a whiskey jam if we can, or like one of your all's things on Demunbury. And they did the Filthy Friday at Live Oak, so we were there a ton. But now that that's moved, like it's just like somewhere on Demunbury in Midtown. There's not a lot of really other places that we just like go to.
Do you miss Honky Tonk Tuesday being at the Legion like it was?
I've actually only been to like two of those.
Really? I thought you would have been to like all those. I'm like, I envision Nikki and Clay being at all of these.
Yeah, we went to one together. We saw you guys there. And then there's only one other one that I'd actually been to. And I don't really know why I never really got out there. I think at that point, like Tuesdays for me were really busy. I wasn't working the way that I'm working now, like independently on my own thing. And so I just never really found the time. But yeah, I would have loved to gone to a lot more of those.
I used to call it the hipster hoedown.
The hipster
Because it was a different, I only went to like one or two of them too. And it was just like, it was like I had no idea what I was walking into. And then I got in there and little Trey Bonner's all dressed up in his pearl snap. And I'm like, Bonner's like, this is where I go to find the girls. And I'm like, okay, Bonner.
And then he's out there dancing.
Oh, Bonner like, loves it. Bonner thrived at Honky Tonk Tuesdays.
Dude, I love that. That's so
funny. He's an awesome little guy, too.
Yeah.
Awesome I love Bonner.
Guy. And you got like the cowpokes out there that they were there for a lot. And they're amazing in their own right, too. Like all the people that played.
There was like a band, the one that we went to. That we saw you guys Love at was like, it was that a band from it was like Italy.
Yeah, they had played Ameripolitan the literal night before. Like when I showed up there, I'd just gotten back from Texas for Ameripolitan. They'd played the Broken Spoke, I think, the night before, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're so good. Like, wait, they're from Italy, but they just have a real like deep love of traditional like Western.
It's like spaghetti music. Western. It's like spaghetti Western. Spaghetti Western music.
Yeah, and they're so talented. And they're like, yeah, now we're gonna be in Nashville like tomorrow. So I was like, you know what? We're going to this. We're gonna see this. And again, they're just really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Again, it's country is like worldwide now.
It is.
It's crazy.
It's so, I mean, I love it. It's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Has a lot of good stuff out of it.
That's awesome. Well, we love what you're doing. Thank you for wearing the hat and being a friend of the family. And we love you and Clay. And anytime that we see you guys out in town, and hopefully we get to see each other at a show soon.
Yeah,
like a show, you know, not just one of our like things that we do during the week, but like a real like ticketed show and like go to a concert with you guys.
That'd be great. We'll let us know when you're going to stuff and we'll let you know when we're going to stuff. We've got tomorrow night. I mean, obviously I don't know what you guys do, but Gabriella, she's going to be at Fox and Lock. I'm definitely going to go see that because she's one of the ones that's like blowing up right now. We'll definitely make something happen. And that would be great. We love what you guys are doing too.
Well, people can follow you, Nikki, in Nashville. And it's the same on Instagram, TikTok, all
YouTube, everywhere.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Well, y'all be sure to check out our girl, Nikki, Nikki Cohen Bird, Nikki in Nashville.
Yes.
What'd you think of the Surfside?
Dude, this is delicious.
Dangerous.
It is dangerous. Yeah. I'm not a huge iced tea person, but I like this.
They also make a lemonade. Okay. So if you prefer lemonade, they have a lemonade, a green tea, a half and half flavored lemonades, a peach tea. They have all kinds of stuff, but their motto is no bubbles, no troubles. And that's kind of what's great about it because there's not the carbonation.
There's no carbonation.
And people will take those and put them over a cup of ice and drink them like a glass of iced tea. So we'll send you home with a 4-pack.
Like, that's a perfect Floribama experience.
It is. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that real quick. The Floribama. The Floribama.
Yeah.
What a time that was.
That was a great experience. I don't quite remember every bit of it. But they did back-to-back nights of four-hour sets at Floribama. And I was telling him, like, it's so funny. I went to Hanover College in Indiana for college. And every single year for spring break, that entire campus, it's very small, but we would all migrate to Gulf Shores for spring break.
Oh, and so you're familiar with
it. Oh my gosh. We would tear that place up when I was in college. And it even looks different now when we went to see you guys there. It wasn't last September. It was the September before.
Yeah, you were at Bama Bash 1.
Bama Bash. Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
With Cody and them. And they did, the 2 4-hour sets back to back. And we hung out in the beach during the day and came to whatever you guys were doing. And like that was super fun. Yeah. Too, just like being down there.
It's like adult spring break.
It's adult spring break with tons and tons of great music. And it was fun.
Yeah, I love the Floribama. We're hoping to do it again this year, so we'll let you know when we're gonna be down there. It'll be sometime in the fall, but it's a lot of fun. It's just like you build that kind of like fellowship of like all the writers that come down there with us and they get to enjoy the beach. It's the best beaches in the world too.
Beaches. And it's not super crowded. It was so funny, everybody who like worked in the artist housing, like that big building behind on the other side of the street,
the bunkhouse.
They would all come up and like they were talking about all these artists that would stay there and work there, and like a bunch of people who were like super fans of Taylor Honeycutt, and like they worked with her and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, this is so cool,
a lot of history down there. We're looking forward to making more memories. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for coming on and making the drive out here before the snow. Hopefully we're not all snowed in. I got a shovel in my truck ready to go.
There you go. And that's all you need.
Looking forward to building snowmen with my girlfriend and her little girl. She's all her daughter, her 6-year-old daughter is like, can we build a snowman tomorrow? I'm like, this is literally frozen. Yes, we can build a snowman. I'm gonna teach you how to throw a proper snowball. We're gonna be
do a proper snow angel, all the things. Yes. Yeah, get some sleds and
we got one for her. She's gonna be going down that hill flying around. I'm sure we'll be posting some videos of that. But thank you so much for joining us and coming on.
Great. Yeah, hell yeah. Absolutely.
Well, y'all be sure to check out our girl Nikki in Nashville. Also check out our friends from Surfside, Vodka Lemonade, Vodka Iced Tea, No Bubbles, No Troubles. Go surfing with us. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my girl Nikki, I'm Matt Barilla. This has been Outside the Round.
See you guys.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know me.